The world faces yet another COVID-19 variant called Omicron. Health officials say it's more infectious than previous variants. So how concerned should we be? And are vaccinations enough to contain it? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I am Hashim Ahlbarra. Just as the world was starting to show signs of recovery from the pandemic, a new COVID-19 variant called Omicron has been identified. Scientists say it's more infectious than the Delta strain, and it's unclear if the vaccines we have now will be effective against it. And while we still don't know much about it, the global stock market price of oil and travel industry are already seeing its impact. Many countries have banned or restricted flights from southern Africa, where the new variant is believed to have emerged. We'll begin our discussion in a moment. First, this update from Fahmida Miller in Johannesburg.
Frustration at Johannesburg's international airport as dozens of people try to return to the United Kingdom. It comes hours after it was announced a new variant of COVID-19 had been identified in South Africa. That led to the United Kingdom announcing a new travel ban on people coming from southern African countries, including South Africa, Botswana and Zimbabwe.
It's a big inconvenience. We had our flights booked for a week's time, but we got the news from our daughter in the UK about 12:30, 1 o'clock last night, saying that the UK were going to introduce a red list.
It's unfair, it's unjustified. It's abrupt and it's not good for tourism for South Africa. Ever since these regulations were passed last night, people are frantically trying to get back into the UK.
South African scientists say they're worried existing vaccines may not be effective and the new variant may spread easily.
The genomic surveillance in South Africa has been outstanding throughout this whole pandemic period. And that's why we've been able to identify when changes occur. The fact that we are able to identify changes quickly is good news. It's good news for the world. But we must be careful that we don't then jump to the conclusion of, well, that equals it came from here, it came from there, and it means it's this or that. We need to understand much more about this.
So far, dozens of infections have been identified in South Africa, while in Botswana, the government says the new virus was found in several foreign nationals on a diplomatic visit.
While the South African government says it respects the decision taken by the UK and other countries to limit travel to and from the region, and that precautionary measures may be necessary, it says the decision is rushed.
The action of countries in terms of imposing travel bans and such measures are completely against the norms and standards as guided by the World Health Organization.
A possible fourth wave compounded by the new variant may further strain an already overwhelmed health system in South Africa. Fahmida Miller, Al Jazeera, Johannesburg.
Let's bring in our guest in Johannesburg, Helen Rees, Chair of the World Health Organization's Regional Immunization Technical Advisory for Africa and member of the South African Ministerial Advisory Committee for COVID and COVID Vaccine. In Leicester, UK, Julian Tang, Clinical Virologist at the University of Leicester. In Rabat, Azzedine Ibrahimi, Director of MedBiotech, a Medical Biotechnology Laboratory. Thank you all for joining us. Helen, since the new variant, Omicron, was identified, its panic and anxiety globally, is it because of the mutations themselves or because this is an uncharted territory for the health community?
Well, I don't think it's an uncharted territory anymore, unfortunately. I think we've had quite a lot of these scares with the emergence of new variants, if we recall, thinking back to what happened in India. So it's not uncharted, but it is concerning. And we're going to have to do a lot more research to really understand what this new variant actually will mean, both in terms of severity of disease, transmissibility, and the action of vaccines, and whether people can get reinfected. Lots of questions to ask.
Julian, the WHO labelled Omicron as a variant of concern, which basically means it's contagious or could be more virulent. If it's both cases, what does it mean for the world?
Yes, so the main concern is the vaccine escape capability or potential capability of those mutations. It includes the 417, the 484, as well as the 501, which increases transmissibility. So we're familiar with these types of mutations already, other variants, including the original beta South African B1351 variant. And we're now seeing how much more transmissible this particular variant from Botswana is. In terms of virulence, that's more tricky because comparing virulence amongst different populations is difficult because, for example, in Southern Africa, we have a high rate of HIV and TB endemic infections that may cause different levels of severity for clinical illness compared to Western countries where those two infections are not endemic. So comparison of virulence will be very, very tricky going forward.
Mm-hmm. Azzedine, Morocco joins the many countries imposing travel ban on South Africa at this particular stage. Give us a sense of what you're thinking in Morocco. Are you thinking about more screening, more restrictions, or revisiting the whole issue of COVID-19 inside Morocco?
Well, actually, Hashim, I think that we talked about this problem before, and we thought that maybe if something is not done to vaccinate at the rate, a speedy rate, actually, and to get a certain percentage to be vaccinated, we have this huge risk that a virus or a variant will be coming and will be coming back to square zero. And I think when you were asking your question, we don't have a lot of answers. The only thing that we know, I think, so far, that this variant is in different places. Actually, it's really interesting to see that a lot of people are pointing out at South Africa, but I think the Belgian cases are clear. Maybe the virus was under the radar, and maybe it was in other countries. In Morocco, I think that is classical now. We know what to do is actually to not let the virus get in quickly. So actually in Morocco, the travel is really, there is some restriction. And actually we invite people to get vaccinated. I think the true thing that we are facing right now is this vaccination hesitancy. And I think if we don't get vaccinated, a certain percentage will come back to square zero.
Helen, as the health community is trying to figure out and discover more about Omicron, so now what we know so far is this is very particular in the sense that it has a high number of mutations, particularly in its spike, which is instrumental to the entry into the body. What does it mean for people all over the world when suddenly you have this variant with a huge number of mutations in its key protein, the spike?
Well, we don't yet know what it's going to mean, but clearly we are worried for the reasons you said, that the spike is a very important part of the virus in terms of gaining entry to cells. But the other problem is that a lot of the vaccines that we have were developed to recognize that spike protein, and that was from the original ancestral virus. So if that spike protein has changed significantly because of these mutations, the risk is that the vaccines that we have might be less effective. And we're very much hoping they won't be ineffective. So far, with the other variants that have emerged, we've seen that although we've seen a reduction in the effectiveness of vaccines, they've still remained effective against severe disease and hospitalization, which at the moment is the sort of world's priority to tackle. But we're going to have to watch that space to see how effective the vaccines are. And that work has already begun. I mean, that work is happening as we speak. And the vaccine manufacturers, particularly Pfizer, which has this mRNA platform, is also already saying, well, if we have to change the vaccines, can we do this and can we do this quickly? And the answer is yes, that technology has the ability to be changed rapidly and manufactured rapidly. So that's a sort of, if you like, it's that's a bit of a good news story, should that be required.
Julian, the spike was the chief target of most of the pharmaceutical or the vaccines that were established to contain COVID-19. And when you suddenly have this 30 mutations in this particular case of Omicron. Could it be an indication, if it turns to be really virulent, that pharmaceutical companies will have to revisit their approach when it comes to tackling this particular variant?
Well, I don't think they have to change their approach, but I think they could be selective, because not all of those mutations will need to be matched to a new vaccine to give sufficient cross-reactive protection against severe disease and death. In fact, the current vaccines originally developed for the Wuhan strain of the virus are doing quite well against the various variants, because that cross-reactive immunity that they confer, even though the vaccine doesn't actually contain those mutations. So we might find a so-called midpoint of numbers of mutations required to be incorporated into the new vaccine to give that cross-protection against the Omicron, the new variant, but also to retain that protection against the older variants like the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta that we've seen already.
Azzedine, Morocco suspended flights with Germany, UK, the Netherlands because of the surge of COVID-19 cases in Europe. Back in July and August, you had quite a remarkable surge in COVID cases and also mortality rate. Now, against the backdrop of these new developments about Omicron, do you have real concerns about a new wave in Morocco that could be further exacerbated in case Omicron crosses the borders?
Well, I have just to come back, Hashem, if you allow me, to the vaccines, because just to say that there is other vaccines that they are not targeting the spike protein. So, for example, the Sinopharm, the Novavax, and other vaccines, they are not targeting just the spike. And hopefully this vaccine and with second-generation vaccines, that will be really protecting against all kinds of variants. For Morocco, I think it's clear that Morocco will not, just by shutting the borders, the virus will not be there. And we saw that before. What we are trying to do in Morocco, actually, is just to slow the speed by which the virus will be coming. But I think what we have to do is just try to get surveillance, genomic surveillance is very good to have in Morocco. And I think what's happened, these cases, we didn't see them because they started, I think, when we saw the phylogenetic of this variant, it started on March 2020, since the Alpha, and it's really derived by itself with the Mu variant. So under surveillance, genomic surveillance is a problem. But I think in Morocco, we know that if it's really around the world, it will come to Morocco. But I think the approaches are there. And hopefully we can fight it as we did with the other variants.
Helen, when you have only 24% of the population fully vaccinated and suddenly you have news about you identify this new variant, what does it mean for the health system in South Africa?
Well, it's very worrying. We were previously getting some comfort because we also have high rates of positivity, seropositivity in our populations because we've had high levels of natural infection. So people have got antibodies, some from vaccines, but many from having a mild to moderate infection. The question will be whether we're going to see reinfection. And one of our concerns at the moment is that we are seeing reinfections occurring with with this new variant, which means that the antibodies from a natural infection don't appear to be giving at least robust protection. They might give some protection, but not robust protection against this variant. The bottom line for the African region is that we need to be able to vaccinate. We had huge delays because of access. We had huge delays because people were slow or countries were slow to support the COVAX facility and put money in. So we didn't have the vaccines. We didn't have the funding at the beginning. Now we've got them. One of the problems we've got is that we've got quite a lot of vaccine hesitancy in the region, that people, on the one hand, in many African countries, people are saying, well, we're not really seeing this disease. Is this really affecting us? And so we've got a sort of complacency on the one hand. The other thing, though, with these delays is that a lot of misinformation was able to sort of go into populations, just as we've seen in other parts of the world, which is causing this vaccine hesitancy. But we really do have to get vaccination up. I think most of us are still optimistic that the vaccines we have will give some level of protection, even if it's partial protection, even if it's not as good against previous variants, but will give some level. Vaccination coverage is absolutely critical. And so one of the things that we're going to have to, and we are talking about in South Africa, are mandatory vaccination policies, as we've seen around the world.
In the meantime, Julian, one of the theories circulating now is that Omicron must have evolved during a chronic infection of an immune compromised person, possibly suffering from of being of untreated HIV case. Now, if the body gets into that situation and then comes out, does it come out more aggressive? Does it mean that vaccines will be less effective? Does it mean that we're likely to see more mortality rates skyrocketing in the world?
Yeah, so this is not unusual. There have been case reports of chronic infections like this with COVID developing similar mutations to those we've seen in the different variants. This is quite rare, but when it does happen, there is a potential for these mutations to allow enhanced transmissibility and potentially in more severe disease. But also, if you have too many mutations in the S protein, which is the essential protein to bind to the ACE2 receptor, you may get a loss of viral fitness. And this has been discussed as well. So a loss of viral fitness means that the virus may replicate through several generations, but then start to fade out. And we've seen this before. There are several other variants like the Peruvian variant and the Colombian variant, where actually there was concern. But in fact, they didn't really transmit much beyond those countries. Mm-hmm. So there is another kind of silver lining to this.
Mm-hmm. Azzedine, it seems like somehow we're having a replay of a past scenario when the moment Delta was identified, countries spent loads of time, energy, resources, putting restrictions, screenings. And then it took them some time to share information with other countries to be able to cope with Delta. And Delta dominated headlines all over the world for quite some time. Could this be another case where we are directing our efforts towards the direction when we should be now in touch with health communities in those affected countries about how to identify, better know and deal with Omicron?
Well, I think you hit it on the nail, actually. It's the thing is what we are looking at right now is how to deal with that, because we are thinking that this scenario will come back every time and it will be playing catch-22. But I think the fact here, and it's clear, we are not fighting just the variant. I think the worst case scenario is what we're seeing in Africa, because we did a lot of lobbyism to get the vaccines to Africa. And when you get the vaccine to Africa and you see that people are hesitant and they're not vaccinating, and I think we are confronted with the misinformation. I don't want to be a really a merchant of fear, but I think if we cannot get to the people to get vaccinated, we'll see this catch-22 happening all the time. And maybe the worst case scenario would be getting a variant that will be spreading quickly, giving you a worse disease, and we escape in the natural and the acquired immunity through vaccines. Mm-hmm. And here, I think we'll come back to square zero.
Okay. Helen, with less than 6% of the African community fully vaccinated, you have this new variant. Is it about time to review WHO recommendations, particularly when it comes to asking wealthy nations to share their stocks of vaccines with the poorer nations to be able to cope what could be a nightmare scenario if Omicron spreads globally?
Yes, I mean, I think that it's a funny kind of opportunity, but we must use the current concern about this new variant to try and mobilize around vaccine coverage in the African region. We had, in fact, a meeting yesterday of the Regional Immunization Committee for WHO, and the vaccines are starting to come. But one of the problems we have is the capacity of countries to be able to absorb the vaccines, both from the point of view of storage, but also from the point of view of delivery. Many of these countries have very remote areas and very difficult to reach areas. Some have got conflict zones. I would think that that in addition to looking hard and continuing to support the supply of vaccines and the funding, what we really need to do is to work with these countries and put a lot more in to try and capacitate them to be able to absorb and roll out those vaccines. Those vaccines are no good in fridges. They have to be administered. We're also worried because the people who are administering the COVID vaccines are now not administering childhood vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing big outbreaks now of things like yellow fever. We've had big outbreaks of measles, and we're seeing a decline in routine immunization coverage in some countries. Mm-hmm. So we might be trying to fix one problem, but we're creating in the medium term a huge problem in terms of other vaccine-preventable diseases. So my appeal to countries would be that we have to invest in supporting particularly the least well-resourced countries in this region to be able to roll out those vaccines.
Julian, when pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Novavax, say that they basically have plans in place to adapt to the new variant, are they talking about a new dose? Are you talking about a new molecular makeup of the dose itself? Are they talking about a booster? Are they talking about a new approach that could really take more efforts, more time to be able to have a new vaccine that that will be able to cope with this particular variant if it proves to be really aggressive?
So those different vaccine approaches are not going to change. What will happen is they change the composition of the virus that they're dealing with. So, for example, the mRNA vaccines, you can actually recode them quite easily, including the adenovirus vector vaccines. The subunit vaccines that are similar to the flu vaccine, like the Novavax, a bit more tricky. You need to then incorporate those mutations into the parent strain of the virus before you then use recombinant technologies to produce that purified protein, the S protein, with those mutations. And then the whole virus vaccine inactivated approaches like the Valneva and the Sinovac, you need to then get some of that Botswanan, you know, B11529 virus, grow it up in massive amounts, mm-hmm. and then you inactivate the whole lot, purify it, and then you put it into the vaccine. And those take longer. The subunit vaccines and the whole virus vaccines do take longer to adjust. The mRNA and the adenovirus vector vaccines are quicker, but you still need to produce them to scale, and that can take several months as well. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at least a 3 to 6 month lag time before we get those vaccines out en masse to the population against this new variant.
Azzedine, your government should be now thinking about contingency plans. They've been promising people easing the restrictions. Now with Omicron, as a scientist, would you recommend against a new shutdown? Particularly your main target, your main market, Europe, is witnessing a remarkable surge in COVID cases from 700,000 cases a week to something like 2.6 million cases.
Well, I would like, really nice to be a scientist rather than a decision maker, because I think it's a really headache to make a balance between all the economical kind of advantages to communicate with Europe and on the other hand, the risk of having the virus coming here. The only thing that I think the recommendation will be just we have to wait 2 to 3 weeks, and I think we have mm-hmm. more questions now than answers. And Morocco, is in a stable situation right now. So what we are doing as measure right now will prevent at least for the 2-3 weeks to have the virus spreading in Morocco. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by then, we will get all the answers to this question.
All right. Helen, this is a pandemic that claimed the lives of more than 5 million people, and many thought that finally there was light at the end of the tunnel. Sadly, with this new report about Omicron, people have this sense that this is back to square one. We're just back to the first days of COVID fear. Do you share that sentiment, or do you think this is something which has been a little bit exaggerated?
Well, I think it hasn't been completely well handled in some quarters. I think that we've seen even scientists use quite scaremongering language, and certainly the media is doing that. The other thing that we're seeing is the sort of turning countries into pariah states instead of saying, actually, this is very good science. This is exactly what we want the world to do, is to do good science and to release that science quickly so that we can respond and not stigmatize the countries that are actually doing what WHO and the member states of WHO have all asked to do, which is be honest and transparent with data. So I don't feel that we're necessarily back to square one. We've learned a huge amount in the nearly 2 years that we've been at this. We've got new technologies. We can, as we've just heard, adjust those technologies. We're able to do sero surveys, and we are starting to get vaccine coverage up. I mean, if we could really, really push that vaccine coverage, and I know from this region, we've said this to the whole world repeatedly, you know, you can't leave one continent out. This is not the kind of virus that will sit quietly where you want to leave it, even if you shut borders. If this is transmissible, it will spread.
Thank you, Helen Rees, Julian Tang, Azzedine Ibrahimi. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsightStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsightStory. From me, Hashim Al-Barra, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.